Good afternoon. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 18. We were talking about on last Sunday evening, God delivers his people. And we were noticing the description that David gave to God. And we looked at those words the last couple of times we talked about this. We looked at those words and we defined those words and we saw how God was, how God carried out all of those things that were descriptive of him in these terms. And David said that God was his rock, and he said he was a fortress. He was my God. He was my strength. He was a buckler, horn of my salvation. He said he was my high tower. All those terms that we talked about that indicated all the things that God was to David when he needed him the most. Certainly also indicates to us all the things that God still is and that he will be when we need him most. But if you move on down into that Psalm, Psalm chapter 18, you will notice some other things in reference to David about God's ability and who God is and his willingness, his ability to deliver him. And notice in Psalms 18, we'll notice verse number 17 and verse number 18, that David described his deliverance from a strong enemy, his deliverance from a strong enemy. Look with me, chapter 18, Bob, if you there, if you will, verse 17 and verse number 18.
He delivered me from the strong enemy and from them which hate me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stead.
So look at what David is saying. David, once again, is going to help us to appreciate God's ability to deliver us, because David certainly had his fair share of difficult situations in which he found himself. And this, you know, and certainly he's describing one of those then when he says he delivered me from a strong enemy. That means that whoever this enemy was, it had every advantage over David and would likely have overcome him. Now, this was likely a reference to Saul. And you know, and certainly we have read all of the various encounters that David had with Saul. And we also know that Saul eyed David because of the song that the lady sang when they said Saul had killed his thousands and David his 10,000s, and the jealousy that raged within him. All of a sudden, he started looking at David differently. And next thing you know, David was in the king's palace and he was trying to soothe him with music and all those kind of things. And before you know it, javelins start coming at his head and all these things began to transpire. Now, eventually, David had to run. Had let Jonathan know what was going on. And that's that same as verse in 1 Samuel 20, where he says, surely as the Lord liveth, there's just a step between me and death. And he wasn't talking about I could just die at any time. He was talking about your daddy trying to kill me. And if he gets an opportunity, he certainly is going to end my life. And Jonathan, of course, wanted to inquire to see if this was true. And he did and found out. Yeah. And he told David, okay, you run. And he had his blessing because Saul was certainly looking for his life. So David would write these psalms about his experiences and the things that he was encountering. And this is one of those occasions where he's talking about the fact that God is his deliverer. God will deliver. And one of the things that God delivered him from was the strong enemy, he says, who was stronger than I, who very likely would have overcome him. And so with Saul, you understand that Saul was a king. He had a lot of folks under his authority, and he sought after David's life at every opportunity. And they were simply more in number. They were under the king's command. They had great resources. And so David had found himself in a situation where the enemy was actually stronger than he was. So who could he rely on in such a time, in such a situation? Who would we rely on if we should find ourselves in such a situation? David said he had to rely on the Lord to deliver him. He did not have the ability to deliver himself with his own hand. And so you think about David. David has some strong enemies. He has some strong enemies. Look with me, if you will, to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 21. And notice verse 16 and verse number 17. We talked about Goliath. We talked about Goliath this morning and David having to face Goliath. We know he had to fight, face a lion and a bear on one occasion. Then he had to face Goliath. But you know, Goliath had some kinfolk and they were just as big as he was. And David would have to deal with some of those folks as well. So the fight didn't end with Goliath. But look at this particular instance in 2 Samuel chapter 21. Bob, read verse 16 and verse number 17. Back up to verse number 15 so we can see what was going on there.
Moreover, the Philistines had not yet war against with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines. And David waxed faint.
So notice that you can kind of see the scene. I'm sorry to get to 15 first, but you can kind of see the scene as they going out to battle the Philistines and David is already weary. David is already faint. And in this particular battle, there was a giant who got an advantage of David and was about to kill him. And just as he gets ready to kill David, and David is faint, he realized that he had the advantage. And then here comes David's man to save the day and kill the giant and prevented him from killing David. Well, at that point in time, they began to chide with David. Hey, man, listen, you can't go to the battle anymore. You got to get away from this. We can't have. See, David was a king of war. And so therefore, David didn't just send his troops out. He went out with them. And you can see that's why he got in so much trouble with Bathsheba in that particular occasion. The Bible tells us that it was a time when kings went forth to war. And David on that occasion stayed back at the palace and then looked out and saw a woman bathing, and you know what kind of trouble he got into, the kind of trouble that would never allow the sword to leave his house. He should have been out the war, but David was home in the palace. And so on these occasions, you can see David was a bloody king. Another reason why he could not build God a house, because too much blood was on his hands. And so he would later be told that, can't build me a house. On this particular occasion, a man is faint and a man is weak. And the giant wants to take advantage of him. And then his servant comes in, kills the giant, and they tell David, look, you got to stop this. You can't be out here with the battle no more, because you will take out and you will extinguish the light in Israel. I mean, we out here fighting for you. If you die out here in battle, what are we going to do? I mean, you know, you're everything to us. You mean too much to Israel. God is blessing Israel through you and because of you. And if you die out here, so goes the light that's in Israel. And so they could not allow David to continue in this battle. You see what David's situation is that David found himself in a great many of these kind of encounters. And the only way he's going to get through is not by his own strength, but the strength of God. And it kind of reminds you of other people throughout history, and one in particular who also has some strong enemies. Did not Christ have some strong enemies? I mean, he has strong enemies. We're not even talking about the devil and all that. We're just talking about the strong enemies known as the Pharisees and the scribes and the Jews and the rulers and even the Gentiles and all of them, strong enemies that conspired against Christ. And you remember that when they came against Christ, when he was in the garden, Jesus says, now is the hour of darkness. This is your time. Go ahead and make the most of it. Do your worst, because you only have 1 hour to conquer me or to overcome me. And then after that, and they certainly put him to death, but after that, Jesus rose from the grave. They had 1 hour, the hour of darkness. Jesus has some strong enemies. Paul has some strong enemies. But not only that, the church has some strong enemies. And so I don't have to rehash it again, but you noticed this morning, we talked about some of those enemies, the philosophies of the day and all of the denominationalism and all of these things that are against God, against his church, masquerading themselves just like Satan in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 13 through 15, who changes himself into an angel of light, and his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of angels or ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. works, but look at religion masquerading as it is God's people, when in actuality they are of the world and of the devil. They are not of God. And so we have some strong enemies, and Paul described it as principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high place, in high, rather high places. And so the church has some strong enemies. We have another strong enemy, a strong enemy called death. And it is an enemy that's going to get every one of us. If time continues, that enemy is going to conquer every one of us, going to swallow us down whole, because it's never going to get enough. It has an insatiable appetite, and it's going to keep on, keep on, keep on taking us down one after one after one after one until it gets the entire generation. Now, if you don't believe it, tell me where's the last generation. Tell me where the folks that lived in the 1800s. And then tell me where the folks ought to live in the 1700s. Think about all the people that inhabited this planet in the 1700s, in the 1800s, in the 1900s, and tell me where they are now. Death just keeps on swallowing up. And it's going to get every one of us as well. If the Lord delays his coming, it's going to do what it does. It's a strong enemy, but there is someone who can deliver. Amen. He can deliver us even from the strong enemy. And notice verse 18 again, and notice what David says. Let's go back to Psalm 18, and notice verse number 18 again. He said, they prevented me in the day of my calamity. Now that word prevented means to precede. He literally means they preceded me, anticipated me. It's the way this word is used in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 15. When those of us who are still alive and remain when the Lord come, he says, shall not prevent them which are asleep. Again, we shall not precede them. We shall not go before them. And so what David was saying is that, or rather what Paul is saying there is that those of us who are alive remain when the Lord comes back, we are not going to go into glory before those who are dead in Christ rise. And so think about it. Those who are still living when the Lord returns, they're not going to go on up into heaven before the dead in Christ. Paul said the dead in Christ shall rise first. And even those who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, precede, go before them who are dead in Christ. So before we go into glory, they're going to be resurrected so we all can go together, but we will not prevent them or go before them. Now, that's the way this word is being used with David. David was saying that they took advantage of the times when he was least able to mount a defense against them, and they were able to anticipate his movements. They were able to intercept his way. They were able to precede him, anticipating where he was going to be and when he was going to be there. And they were able to get there first so that they could mount an ambush. And David said, they prevented me in the day of my calamity. Now, here's the thing. David was a great military strategist, and he was a great warrior. And yet he did not take credit for all the times he got out of those scrapes. You remember that David said God was his fortress. In other words, every time they had him pinned in, God opened up a way for him to go out another way. But David never took credit for all of those instances where he escaped or where he was able to overcome the enemy. And here is another one. Let me tell you, what that tells me is this. We will always do well if we give God the glory and honor for everything that is good. That every time we escape, every time we overcome, every time we get through, every time we get by, every time we overcome, we ought to thank God for it, because it's not of our own strength. It is God who has delivered. The Bible says there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 13. No dishonor when you acknowledge that you owe your success to God or to Christ. Now notice Psalm 18. Drop on down, Bob, to verse number 43. And let's read verse 43. We'll stay there, though, because I got a couple other verses. But give me verse 43.
people whom I have not known shall serve me.
David said, thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people. In other words, their contentions, their insurrections. He says, and those people will be subdued under me. Look at verse 47 and verse number 48. Thou hast delivered me. In other words, David said, God has delivered me and made me triumphant over my enemies. He subdued those nations. So you think about it, in David's life, God, what David is referring to is the fact that God actually subdued those nations that were against him and actually made them tributaries. So they came to serve David, and did not they come to serve his son Solomon and send gifts and money and goods and all those kind of things? And so he says God then made them to come under him and to actually serve him. That's just how powerful and how great and how wonderful God is. That even those who were his enemies and even those who were fighting against him, even those who were trying to take him down, and yet God was able to deliver him so much so that they became his servants. Not just the 12 tribes, but the Syrians, the Philistines, all of those, the Idumeans, those were the descendants of Esau, all of those individuals, the Edomites, God then subdued those Gentile nations so they became servants even under David. But did God not do the same thing for Christ? Yeah. Think about all those who were against Christ, all the Gentile nations and all of those things, and now they serve him. They became servants because God delivered. Look at verse number 50.
Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore.
So in other words, God is responsible. God is the one who appointed the deliverances. And so therefore, God is the one who should receive the credit. Now, continuing with this, look at Psalm 33. And notice that God is also able to deliver the soul from death. Psalm 33. And look at verse number 18 and verse number 19.
Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine.
So God's eyes are upon them, upon all men. We understand that, for the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 3. But he says the eyes of the Lord are over every man, but it is directed in a special manner to those who fear and trust him. It is good then to be those of us who fear God, who trust in God, seeing that God's eyes are up over us for deliverance. You know, there is special security in the fact that God's eye is upon the righteous. Because you think about it, does God not see our needs? Does he not see our wants? Does he not see our dangers? Does he not see the things that concern us? He sees our circumstances. And yet the Bible tells us that he can supply all our souls. He can supply all our needs. He can subdue all our enemies. And so really, when you think about it, then God is truly all in all. And he is the one that's going to deliver us from all our troubles, from all our trials, from all our various situations. This is what Peter wrote in 1 Peter 3, 12 and 13. He certainly ought to know he went through his own difficulties and situations. He said, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them to do evil. Verse 13 says, but who is he that shall harm you if you be doers of that which is good? God is able to deliver even the soul from death. Will God deliver? He certainly will. And he certainly delivered David. I got about 15 more pages of this outline, which means I'm not going into the next section. But the thing is, God will deliver and God can deliver. And when you look at Psalm 18, that is a very encouraging psalm when you consider who God is.
all those descriptive terms that tells you his abilities and his willingness to deliver his people, and then to see it play out in the life of a man named David, who also prefigured the Christ, and that just comes right on down to us. God has been delivering for a mighty long time, and he is still in the delivering business. And those of us who trust him and love him, God will deliver us as well. Now, don't mean that we're not going to have our problems, and don't mean we're not going to have to deal with our particular circumstances and all those kind of things. But as Paul would say, even though we have to face a lot of these trials and circumstances and difficult situations, we might get knocked down, but we will not be knocked out. And when the big enemy comes, that is death, God is going to deliver us to the other side so that we'll be prepared to be with him throughout all eternity. Well, it can't get any better than that. And so we thank God for his deliverance. We take no credit for ourselves when we get through stuff. We give the honor and the glory to God because that's where it belongs. Amen. If you're here this evening, and maybe you're not a member of the Church of Christ or you're not a Christian, that's the same thing. Not a member of the Church of Christ, you're not a Christian. Same thing. If you're not a Christian, you're not a member of the Church of Christ. Same thing. And you need to be, which means you're still lost in your sins. You need to repent of those sins, confessing Jesus Christ to be the Son of God and being immersed in water for the remission of sins because you believe that he is the true God and the one who is the only begotten Son of the Father and the one who died for you so that you might live. If you need to respond to that invitation, we'll baptize you right now into Christ if you will come as we stand and sing the invitation song.